This is Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. It's almost time for Tavern Talk. Mages have a new podcast just for them, and some off-the-record podcasters go on the record. This is Realm Maintenance number 130.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Void Lords and Observers, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. You do still have a few days left to enter the contest I announced on the show this week, and right now you have a pretty decent chance since I only have two entries. You can win a month of WoW game time by sending an email to realmpodcast@gmail.com and give me your idea for a legendary garrison follower, including abilities and traits. Being creative here is really how you're going to win, because I'm not going to be leaving it up to random.org. Whichever idea I think is the most creative and the most balanced, well, our legendary is really balanced anyhow, but you get the idea. The best one's going to win. You have until Saturday at 11:59 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time to enter, and good luck! I'd say let's get the show rolling with some PTR talk, but, well, PTR is PTR, not to mention I don't think I could keep talk about PTR too brief. So, how about some Heroes of the Storm Close beta? Here is the rolling restart. Every once in a while, I wish Realm Maintenance came out on Wednesdays, because Tuesday afternoons often seem to have some interesting announcements. As you know, 2 weeks ago, Heroes began its closed beta phase, and what that means is we're closer to the official launch. How much closer, who knows? My guess is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of right after BlizzCon. Just last Tuesday, however, those who were wishing they could get into the beta received an interesting opportunity for a price. By purchasing a Founders Pack for $39.99, you can get Raynor, Diablo, and Tyrande, a golden Cyberwolf mount, alternate skins for those characters, and 2,500 gold to get you started purchasing new heroes. Oh, and you also get access to the beta if you're not in it already. And the internet explodes. Well, at least for a little while. Now, I know there's people out there who've complained about this, saying, "This is a blatant cash grab by Blizzard. Why is everyone selling access to betas of their games nowadays?" So on and so forth. So, is it a cash grab by Blizzard? Well, sort of. The fact is, you can get this bundle even if you already had access to Heroes, and it would still be a discount off of buying the three heroes and their skins individually. Frankly, considering the Golden Cyberwolf mount is not available through any other means, I know people who are already in the beta or who are in the technical alpha that might even spend $40 just to get the Cyberwolf. Now, free-to-play games like Heroes, League of Legends, and others do stuff like this all the time. For those that really, really want beta access and don't want to rely on the RNG of opting in or trying to get into a giveaway or something, well, this is an option. I'd also tend to think that those that are really excited about playing this game are probably among some of those who are more likely to make a purchase like this anyhow. Of course, it's easy for me to give my opinion because I've been in Heroes since the technical alpha, but honestly, if I didn't have beta access by now, I probably would have bought this Founders Pack to get in. And really, that's why Blizzard's doing it, because they know there are people out there who are going to do this. Does this make them bad or wrong by essentially selling beta access to their game? I personally don't believe so, especially when the other items outside of beta access itself are coming at a discount to begin with. So, several years ago, the gaming industry, of course, was very different. We didn't have things like Kickstarter, and paid beta access just really wasn't a thing. But, like Garrosh said time and time again,
times change.
You can talk about the ethics behind paid beta access all day, but the fact is, if there's a demand for it, then it's going to keep happening. I mean, look at EverQuest Landmarks, Star Citizen, or Shroud of the Avatar, which I have paid for access to. At the end of the day, we all have a choice here, and neither choice, in my opinion, is wrong. Don't forget, you can sign up for the beta, and there's still going to be beta key giveaways happening. I've seen some happen at PAX South, and a couple of Heroes podcasts are getting involved in that as well. It's only a matter of time before the doors of the beta open to everyone, and honestly, from what I've seen, I'm about the last person to talk about it. So, since everyone else has moved on, why don't we move on to what's happening on the Warlord 6.1 PTR and everywhere else as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Diablo 3 game designers Wyatt Chang, Travis Day, Don Vu, and community manager Neville Estes will be discussing their philosophy behind seasons during a Tavern Talk video cast scheduled for February 10th at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on twitch.tv/Diablo. You can send any questions you have for the devs about seasons by tweeting them to @Diablo using hashtag D3QA. The official 6.1 PTR patch notes were posted this past weekend, revealing more info about the next major content patch, including details on the new Heirloom Tab system, garrison improvements and additions, and adjustments to the Challenge Mode daily quest rewards, which will now award item level 660 gear. Due to numerous DDoS attacks during the Kingwin for Charity Winter Edition 2015 tournament, the tournament has been postponed till next weekend in order to give players more time to protect themselves from any interruption that may be caused by third parties. Meanwhile, you have just a few days left to reach rank 20 to receive the Maraud card back at the end of the month. Team Liquid is currently running a new map creation contest for StarCraft II, and at least two of the maps submitted will be used in both ladder play and upcoming seasons of the World Championship Series. And finally, a check over at WoWProgress.com shows that currently over 250 guilds have defeated the Imperator Margok encounter in Highmaul on Mythic difficulty, while just under 30% of participating guilds have completed the raid on Heroic difficulty. And that's your news. I'll be back with a podcast spotlight of the week interview after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Raiders have a ball finding rules loopholes. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. The new Kargath Partisans, a highly successful Horde raid team, is no stranger to controversy. Just a month ago, Nitrog Thundertower charged that the team had used a borderline illegal attack formation to defeat him, sending 3 DPS on top of the cars to drop down behind his turret. Their notoriety goes back several years when they were first charged with using videos taken by their overweight supervisor to prepare raid strategies. So few were surprised at the Partisans' latest stunt, where before facing Kargath Bladefist in the Highmaul Coliseum, they turned down the supply of gas, thereby deflating the radius of the flame jets and increasing their freedom of movement. ODN attempted to interview Tauren main tank Bull Bellow Chuckroast, but he simply glared at us and crushed a small animal skull into dust with his hands. We fared little better with their druid main healer, who turned into an apple tree and simply repeated, "I am fruit," as a mocking way of saying, "no comment." But partisan mage Tomberay Swiftarm simply laughed that annoying blood elf laugh, accused the other teams of jealousy, and said they couldn't handle the pressure of raiding. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Each person's experience with World of Warcraft is unique, and that means each of the many WoW podcasts that are out there will also have its own, well, flavor for your ears, so to speak. Put three people behind a microphone, have them talk to each other about Warcraft, and you could end up with a show like The Instance, or The Sundering, or Saturday Morning WoW, who knows? Or you could end up with Warcraft Off the Record. This week, my goal is to hopefully answer the question, what flavor is Warcraft Off the Record? And I'm happy to have Derek, Janelle, and Poke on the show to talk all about it. How you three doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having us on the show.
I was wondering, Derek, if you could talk about just how this show got started.
I actually answered a personal ad on Craigslist.
It
was in the looking for more category.
I see.
The way the show got started was Janelle approached me. We were in that very lengthy period of the dark days of Mists of Pandaria, where not a lot new was happening. And Janelle hit me up and said, "Hey, what do you think about doing a show?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And it all just kind of fell into place from there.
Awesome. So Janelle, you guys have all three of you been in the same raid group for some time then?
Yeah, I had just come back from Horn when I found my old guildmaster following this awesome new guildmaster. Not that my old one isn't awesome. And I was like, you know, I will join up with these guys and they just are going to rock it. And they did rock it. And I'm like, I like these people. They're awesome people.
What is Warcraft Off the Record?
I think that myself, Derek, and Janelle have talked about this quite often. Warcraft Off the Record is the three of us talking about things that we would probably normally talk about. It's somewhat toned down of a manner so other people can listen to it without being offended. And we just put it out there for everyone else to hear. But we've been talking about things like this for years.
Yeah, this is legitimately our guild chat and how we actually talk to each other during raid and so on and so forth. And it was great because, I mean, me and Poke, we've been together now for, 3 years. And we always joked about the fact that we could turn our raids almost into a sitcom. And when Janelle said, hey, do you want to do a show? I was like, oh, yeah. Now we get to show everybody how crazy we actually are.
And having just listened to your most recent episode, I would say pretty crazy. Especially, you know, it's been a while since I've seen a video cast where someone actually wore a tinfoil hat. It made me a little nostalgic.
Hey, the tinfoil hat needs to protect me from some of the things that Derek says. I'm so scared of his theories.
I would like to say,
come in. Like, at what episode did you invent the tinfoil hat?
The tinfoil hat was created when you were trying to come up with the release date for
Draenor.
Yeah.
But it was a tinfoil crown, not a tinfoil hat. Thank you.
That's true.
They won't let me wear the tinfoil hat anymore because it looks like a skull cap. So I have the tinfoil crown.
I just actually was telling you not to do it because I thought you would, you know, cook your brain because I would get hot by the end of an episode.
Doing a little research, your show is part of the Quest Gaming Network, and I noticed that they have another show there called Elder Scrolls Off the Record. So the name just basically came by association with the network?
My friend from the network who had approached me about the show, he was the one who had like the off the record name too for his original show that I used to listen to. And he's like, hey, so this would be a great name for you guys. And we're like, that would be a great name for us guys. That's a really wonderful name.
The format of the show is not super typical to a lot of newsy WoW podcasts. One thing that I have noticed is that you guys put a fair bit of weight into the lore and also a bit into PvP as well. So, Poke, how about you take us kind of through the format of a typical show, what you guys will talk about from 1 week to another?
Okay. Typically, we talk about some news topics. It's typically three topics. We try to limit it to that. Simply because you can hear the news anywhere. You know, we want to cover the things that are important, but we don't want to have an hour and a half of nothing but news. And then we do a lore piece every week. We do a PvP and or the PvP piece has kind of been melded into a, let's call it a statistics piece, because honestly, there are a lot of changes in PvP, but not enough to keep up with something weekly. And we didn't want to just sit there and talk about this is what we did in PvP this week. So we kind of melded it together and made it a statistics piece where we talk about stats, things of that nature. Every week we also have a philosophical question of the week. And that is whatever Derek has decided to throw at us and see if we can answer with any kind of any kind of intelligent thought at all, I guess is the best way to say it, without losing our minds.
Yeah, there's been several times where I've changed the actual philosophical question while we're doing the show. I will change it on the show notes. Oh yeah, just to throw them off, just to see what happens.
That's a typical show. If we make it to the beginning to the end without yelling at each other or without one of us losing connection, is typically a pretty good episode.
Now, the three of you, one thing I've noticed about your show that's relatively rare in WoW podcasts is that you make fun of one another a lot. And I would say Janelle probably gets the brunt of that. Do you ever get concerned that you might say something that like goes over the line and is taken too seriously by whoever you're making fun of? Or is this just typically how you three are? And I'm just curious about, because I'm like, wow, you all take shots at each other.
I regularly get texts from Poke telling me that he's crying himself to sleep from something that we've said on the show. It's creepy and awkward while you're trying to go to sleep and you just get this picture of Poke crying. But legitimately, this is the way that we have been forever. We treat Janelle like a little sister, because ultimately in our guild we're a giant family, and that's how we come across basically everything, whether it's raiding, dungeoning, questing. It doesn't really matter, and we're constantly taking shots at each other. It came out of one of Janelle's raids that I am the worst druid tank in the world. And I've just ran with it from then.
Yeah, and I think if we were going to go past a point, it would have happened in raid or in guild. Because sometimes we go even further than we do in the podcast, which may be hard for some people to believe.
Well, you're PG rated on the podcast, so to speak. I can only imagine what comes up in raid chat.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
We have never talked about putting, you know, mustard on Hordon's nether regions ever.
Ever. I still remember my initial nickname from when I was just when I was in Poke's guild back in Wrath.
Let's not talk about
that. Are you sure you can actually say that?
I'm not going to say that one. And then I remember my new nickname that I saw yesterday.
Yeah, that was Siri that gave you that one. We're, also, another nickname we cannot actually say on the air.
I then we will keep that off the record.
exactly.
I try to ask each podcast a question that's somehow related to the name of the show. So, taking the whole off the record kind of bit to this all, I'd like to ask each of you, and we'll start with Derek here. What would you like the WoW development team to go on the record about in regards to the development of Warlords of Draenor, past or future?
I honestly would love to hear them go on the record as to why they have changed the way that legendaries are handed out. In the past, legendaries have been very class specific and very, very difficult to achieve. I'm still trying to get my Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker, and I'm not doing that just to troll.
I actually got that completely by accident playing my Warlock in Molten Core. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave. I actually threatened to kick somebody out of guild because he got the right binding, and I still don't have it.
I was just farming this stuff for rep, and I ended up getting both bindings.
Yeah, thanks for that. You made my day. I appreciate it.
Bro, you are legendary.
Thank you.
But with the way that they've done this, they're it's almost like they're diminishing the value and the prestige behind a legendary item. It's great to see that, you know, more people are able to kind of join in the fun, but with everybody on every server having the ability to have a legendary cloak, or now as we're working towards the rings, it really kind of takes away from it. I remember running through Stormwind, and I looked over and I saw this rogue with both of the warglaives, and I'm like, that's cool. And now you go back and you start looking at you take a picture of Stormwind and you see 12 or 13 different procs on somebody's cloak, and it takes away from that really awesome prestigious feeling of having a legendary.
I would love to know why the jungle is not yet ready. I want to get in there and I want to play and I want to experience content, and I cannot do that right now because there's this whole like blanked out space on my map that I need to be in. And I don't know if you guys have tried it. I definitely have, late at night trying to sneak in there somehow. And you think you get close, and then you end up getting killed from exhaustion and having to resurrect that.
Kind of like trying to get out to GM's Island.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for GM Island was attainable, and this is not. Janelle is fruitlessly killing herself in the middle of the night.
I want to see it.
Don't tell her this. Let her keep trying. She's not using guild repairs, so just let her keep going.
And, you know, I have to think that this is kind of a key reason behind them holding off flying as far as 6.1 goes, because if they weren't going to make the jungle accessible, well, they don't want people flying into the jungle or around the jungle right away necessarily at the same time either. I mean, obviously they could do, you know, silly things like fatigue and teleporting and such like that. But the whole flight or no flight thing is, you know, a whole other discussion that I would probably like them to really go on the record about.
Right.
Yeah. Poke, what about you?
I would like to see them go on the record about some things they won't change, not about things that they will. And that would be, number one, flying. Don't put it back in the game.
Yep.
Since you mentioned it, I had to go there.
That's fine.
I don't think there should be flying in the game. I just think it shrinks the game. The game becomes a much smaller, less awesome place when you can fly around it. But the thing that I really would like to see them go on record about is the current state of PvP and the way that the gear works. And this is something we talked about somewhat in our episode last night.
Right.
Episode 19, yes. We talked about the way that the PvP gear currently works, and I think it's working fantastically. I know that some player versus enemy players are not okay with the way it currently works because they feel like they're being slighted by PvP gear, but this is the only way that PvP gear stays viable and yet gives you some kind of benefit in PvP that you can't get elsewhere. So I would like to see them go on record and say, yes, we like the way PvP is right now, and we want to keep it that way, because it seems like that question gets dodged and doesn't get answered.
So far from what I've heard from you guys, and like I said, I've listened to a handful of episodes, I've found your podcast very entertaining, definitely worth a download and listen to. Is there, you know, a certain episode that you might encourage people to check out if they want to get a taste of Off the Record for the first time, or would you say just jump onto the most recent episode?
I would say jump onto the most recent episode and then go back to episode zero, Into the Maw of Madness. Honestly, it will describe us a little bit more, but it didn't really do us justice. And I would love to actually almost go back and re-record that particular episode, because we hadn't really developed how we were going to go with the show. But it'll give a lot of backstory on us. But this last episode was probably one of the funnest ones we've ever done. Episode one was pretty momentous for an ongoing gag that Janelle started, and just stay with us. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, Derek, Janelle, Pope, thank you for being on the show. I would like more people to find you and be able to check you out. So, Poke, since you usually do it on your show itself anyhow, how about you tell folks where, when, and how they can find Warcraft Off the Record?
All right. If you guys want to hit us up on Twitter, you can hit us up at WarcraftOTR. You can get in touch with Derek at Derek_Scott, myself at PokeSoul, and Janelle at JanelleZ. And you can always email us, warcraftofftherecord@gmail.com, or check out our website at warcraftofftherecord.com.
Awesome. And Derek, your show does live stream, correct? People can join in and participate?
That is correct. We are live Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Mountain. And yeah, come join us. Poke and Janelle, watch the chat, and you can join in. And you're more likely to get into the show if you've got a name that we can pronounce.
We still say the ones we can't pronounce.
Well,
we
butchered that one last night.
Funny story on episode 19, Derek mispronounces a name I never thought could have been mispronounced ever in the history of WoW podcasting. So I kudos to you, sir.
I also mispronounced in episode 17, podcast. I said broadcast.
Nice.
Underscore. So,
yeah, underscroll. It's the Canadian in me. I apologize. We add use to words that don't need to have use, like the word color and stuff like that. So I'm going to mispronounce stuff all of the time, but at least I can say Hearthstone.
True. And you have a lot of fun doing it. So, guys, thanks again for being on the show. We are going to head out with a short clip from, I believe, episode 20 of Warcraft Off the Record.
So, first of all, There have been 3 Lich Kings. In this alternate timeline, there is not a single Lich King. Because there is not a Lich King in this alternate timeline because Ner'zhul hasn't been made the Lich King. There is none. So. There is no creation of Death Knights. There is still the necromancy, but there is not that initial Death Knight that was created because of Gul'dan and Cho'gall's work.
You don't think that somebody's not going to go, hey, none of this stuff happened. I can go and recreate all of this and do it right. You don't think that nobody in this not time travel thing, because this is where I was going, I could be the Lich King.
I still think Gul'dan is behind all of this, and Gul'dan may end up being the Lich King.
That would be kind of cool, actually. No, that's the whole point of Kargath and why Kargath dies, like, within the first, 10 minutes of the game this time. He will become the new Lich King. Frostmourne gets jammed onto his stump, and the Iron Horde is totally wiped out.
I still think that there is a force to be reckoned with this very, very, very cheesed off Banshee Queen who wants to repopulate her undead
army.
Nice to
call yourself a Banshee.
That's messed up.
You're wearing a crown.
It's a crown.
I totally suckered you in. That's 2 in 1 episode.
I think if there's a return of the Lich King, it's going to be Bolvar. Before Bolvar had all this happen to him, he was super crazy, ridiculously powerful. I remember watching him take on Onyxia's army in the keep of Stormwind. Watching him,
leader of Stormwind at the time.
Yes. Well, technically Anduin was, but he was protecting Anduin.
Yeah.
So, when she tried to attack Anduin, he was like, nah, that ain't happening. The Horde would sneak in and kill Anduin, and Bolvar would just go off on them, and you just watch him slaughter 100 Horde members, and it's like, yes, this is awesome. Then he goes up there, gets poisoned, set on fire, tortured, and then puts on the helmet.
Wait a second. Okay, so here we go, and what about this as a theory, right? Because, I mean, it took Arthas a really long time to actually become the Lich King and for him to sink deep into that madness.
So it didn't really take that long. It took a couple of years.
Okay, but, the timeline from then to now has only been a couple of years. What if the end of this expansion... It's Bolvar that ends the Iron Horde.
Oh man, you have no idea how wonderful that would be. Like that, I would be okay with not getting to join the Iron Horde if he destroys them.
Like, because that is also a plausible answer, right? I would
drive to wherever Blizzard headquarters is and hug every one of them. I'd probably go to jail doing so, but it would be worth it.
And honestly, with how intricate Arthas is in everybody's story, I mean, it's the 50 Shades. Holy crap! I've said that so many times. I was like the eight degrees of separation of Arthas, instead of Kevin Bacon. See what I did there, Janelle?
No, I don't really, but I know the theory you're speaking.
Right. So now we've got Bolvar, who is doing the same thing, but just differently, right? So it could technically happen, and it would make sense.
Thanks again to Derek, Janelle, and Poke for being on the show this week. I should have the archives updated with full versions from the past several weeks of shows by the time you hear this. Let's move on to this week's Blizzard podcast news. Remember how earlier in the show I was talking about ways to get into the Heroes beta without buying the Founders Pack? Well, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, you should check out the Heroes Power Hour, recording tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/twizcast, where you just might have a chance to win a beta key. If you happen to miss that, you can still enter to win one of many keys that BlizzPro has to give away for both North American and European players by going to heroesofthestorm.blizzpro.com. The holiday break is over, and WoWhead Weekly has returned to the internet, with episodes 21 and 22 now available. Listen to Olivia and Perculia talk about all the latest developments with Warlords of Draenor and WoWhead itself at youtube.com/WoWhead. The Starting Zone just finished recording episode 102 with special guest Josh Augustine, and you should be able to catch that episode on iTunes or Stitcher in the near future. However, Mick Montgomery is on the search for a new regular co-host for the show as well. If you have a huge passion and love for World of Warcraft, an active account with a level 100 character, and are able to record in the evenings at 9 p.m. Pacific time, then you might just want to check out the post up at thestartingzone.com for complete details on how you can apply. Mages rejoice! There's a new WoW podcast out there just for you. Jack of Skulls, Echelon, and Dead Greed of the Convert to Raid Omen Guild have come together for Dalaran Brilliance, a show which mainly focuses on how to get the most out of your mage in a raiding environment. You can also expect the crew to touch on other relevant areas as well, from patch notes to lore, to maybe even a little PvP talk. This podcast, which is just a couple episodes in, can be found on iTunes and Stitcher, or you can check the show at dalaranbrilliance.wordpress.com. It's a double-sized episode for 30-minute cooldown as Katie and Eric go quickly through the official 6.1 notes and offer tips and observations about things already in the game along the way. Plus, they post their daily to-dos for their mains, so give it a read and see what they're up to. And add items of your own, too. This is what happens when I read things other people send me. It's like I see something, I'm like, that doesn't look right, so then I edit on the fly. View the list on facebook.com/30minutecooldown and find the audio on iTunes, Stitcher, and 30minutecooldown.com. The Diablo 3 podcast is back after a two-month break. Patch 2.1.2 has gone live, and co-hosts Oz and Flux discuss ancient items, rift density improvements, changes to sets, quality of life requests, and much more. This podcast is available on iTunes or at youtube.com/Diablo3INC. You can also catch archived episodes at diablo.incgamers.com. The crew at Group Quest sat down to talk about followers, the Garrison campaign, patch 6.1 PTR, and more in Begun the 6.1 PTR Has, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. Is there a need for separate LGBT servers in-game? Jules and Mark Honan welcome special guest Jerry Lawson on Torrent Think Tank to discuss that topic and more. Lawson is a professor at California State University Long Beach with a focus on gender and queer theory, and episode 131 of the Triple T is full of conversations you have never heard on the show before, including talk about ERP. This episode does contain adult themes and may not be suitable for children, and you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and TorrentThinkTank.com. Episode 42 of The Meeting Stone is live and ready. What's your take on the 6.1 patch notes? What do you think of the BlackRock Foundry rollout? Well, Mike and Brian will tell you how they feel, so stop on by The Meeting Stone on iTunes, Stitcher, or TheMeetingStone.com. Heroes of the Storm technical designer John Z. Hodgson pays a visit to the Town Hall Heroes podcast on episode 47 for an hour-long discussion about how heroes are designed, created, and balanced for gameplay. This is the first dev interview we've seen since the launch of the closed beta, and if you're a fan of the game, it's a podcast not to miss. Find the Town Hall Heroes podcast on iTunes or on youtube.com/solidjakegg. On most weeks, I often mention who Letha is interviewing on the latest episode of Behind the Avatar. Well, this week the tables are turned, as Letha is the guest on episode 165 of Girls Gone WoW. The girls discuss the current state of their characters in Warlords, and you can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, or GirlsGoneWild.net. Follow that show on Twitter at GGWShow. You can also listen to Letha's interview with Zia from The Sundering, which you can find at BehindTheAvatar.com. Convert to Raid welcomes Mythic Raider Trekkie back to the show to talk all about raiding. I mean, last I heard, that's kind of a thing they do on the podcast for raiders in the World of Warcraft. Listen to episode 169 on iTunes, Stitcher, or ConvertToRaid.com. The Method Madness doesn't stop there, though. I missed this on last week's show, but well-known Method Hunter Roger Brown was a guest on episode 209 of the Hunting Party podcast. Topics discussed included the Heimal race to World First, what spec he's playing, the upcoming BlackRock Foundry raid, and changes coming in patch 6.1. Find that show at HuntingPartyPodcast.com. On episode 4 of Failcapped, titled A New Patch, I see what you did there, guys, the Dread Raven Anzu joins Haggis, Grey Fox, and Elias to talk about patch 6.1, the past week of WoW, and Pound Fist. Someone told me this podcast is only 17 minutes long, but don't believe everything you hear. Catch this explicit podcast at failcap.com. A quick congratulations is in order to the hosts of the Converted podcast who are recording their 50th episode this coming Monday, which, if I'm not mistaken, is Groundhog Day. Does this mean that Sal, Belschnickel, and Navox are doomed to record this episode over and over and over again? Join the live chat room on February 2nd at 11 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/convertedpodcast, or listen to it afterwards at convertedpodcast.com. Speaking of milestones, Looking for Roleplay hits 25 episodes this week and celebrates by taking your questions. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, you still have time to email lfrppodcast@gmail.com with questions about anything and everything related to roleplay, writing, art, character creation, the host's personal inspirations, their characters, their guilds, World of Warcraft, or just life itself. Follow the show at lfrppodcast to see when episode 25 is up for your listening pleasure. Episode 68 of Final Boss is focused on Restoration Shaman. Shaman? Shaman? Anyhow, guest co-host Affinity joins Bay and Shaman guests Keen and Vixen to break down this healing spec and its current performance. Find the video and audio of this podcast at finalboss.tv. And finally, it's been a few weeks since the last World of Relcraft podcast, but worry not, Relic is back with episode 5 of the show, featuring a look ahead to Blackrock Foundry, 6.1, news for other Blizzard games, and some sincere advice for tanks. Find this solo show on iTunes and worldofrelcraft.com. And that's your podcast news. Well, there's one more new podcast to tell you folks about, but rather than talk about it myself, I'll let one of the hosts do that himself.
Hello and welcome. Have you ever wanted to torture your ears? Have you ever pondered what it would be like if someone gave Boomy a microphone and a studio to do his own World of Warcraft podcast? The answer is here. Come listen to The Boomy Show, where you'll hear antics, more personalities and voices than one man can handle. Yes, and all powered by Odin's beard. So come, enjoy the rantings and ravings of a bearded man. Perhaps you too will learn something. Thank you, and good day, and may God save the beard.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and dance on the Rocky Mountain corpse of Tectus. Great job, Furt Team. I want to give a special shout out to my great friend Jan, or at Jangasm on Twitter as you may know her. She's now the proud mother of a newborn baby boy named Liam, and hey, people can finally call me the Godfather. As always, let me know what you think of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. If you'd like to help support what I'm doing here on Realm Maintenance, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast and pledge as little as $1 a month, or you can donate to the show using the PayPal button found at realm-maintenance.com. 100% of the money the show receives takes care of hosting costs, post-production, and future giveaways. Realm-maintenance.com is also where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at realmpodcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, the World of Warcraft podcast, So You Don't Have To, is on the verge of recording episode 400. And hey, even if Scott's not doing anything special for it, I am. Patrick from France Beja joins me for a special interview. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2015, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Derek, Janelle, and Poke for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the Blizzard podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.
Many often wonder, who is the funniest? Who is the most entertaining? Who is the fan's choice? Who is the best? We'll be right back. the WoW Podcaster Tournament of Epicness. Nominations for this year's tournament open up February 3rd. For more information, listen to Sheep Moon on RivalcastMedia.com every Tuesday, like a boss.
Uktaruga! Victory or death!
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?